Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. My name is Melissa, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Grupo Lala's fourth quarter results conference call. Please note that today's conference is being recorded and will be available for replay. I'll now turn the conference over to Mr. David Gonzalez, Grupo Lala's Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, operator, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us to review Lala's fourth quarter 2018 results. The related press release was issued yesterday and has been posted on our website at grupolala.com. As usual, we've created slides to accompany our earnings presentation. You will also find the slides posted on our website this morning. Participating on our call today are Mauricio Leiva, our Chief Executive Officer, and Alberto Arellano, our Chief Financial Officer. At the conclusion of our remarks, we will open the call up for questions, and I will be available later for any follow-up comment or clarification. Before we begin, I must remind you that the discussion during the call today is likely to contain forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements are statements other than those which are historical in nature. All forward-looking statements are subject to significant uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially from those suggested by these statements. Slide 3 has this morning's agenda. It's now my pleasure to hand the call over to Mr. Mauricio Leiva. Mauricio, please go ahead.
Thank you, David, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We want to cover a few key areas, and I will start by discussing the steps and tangible progress we've already been making in our journey towards becoming a high-performance organization. Next, we'll present a closer country-by-country review of these initiatives and our progress during the fourth quarter. And finally, Alberto will be discussing the details of Lala's quarterly financial results. So if we can please move to slide 4, as I communicated during my first quarterly call with you, these are 4 key areas that we're working on. After spending the time visiting virtually every market, listening and learning from customers and colleagues, we identified and have already made a number of immediate improvements and progress in each of these, starting with nurturing talent at Lala. We are building a new performance-driven culture of agility, efficiency, collaboration, and innovation so that we can produce sustainable, profitable growth for Lala shareholders. Already, there is a renewed sense of urgency with teams focused on owning the outcomes for near and long-term fixes. This is what we call must-win battles. The second area of focusing is all of our efforts and resources on Lala's key markets, driving therefore a virtuous cycle to win in Mexico and drive profitability in Brazil. This also includes the creation of strategic alliances in the digital domain to prepare ourselves for the future. Capital allocation is our third focus area, specifically improving working capital, more efficient capital investment, and redirecting efforts towards our key markets and the growth drivers within them. Lastly, there is increasing Lala's transparency to help you better measure our progress and assess our company's potential while making ourselves more accountable to you and our own goals. This includes disclosing more relevant performance metrics and being consistent in what we share. If we please move to slide 5, the starting point for nurture and talent, which is my passion, was establishing new values for our company, along with a new organizational structure designed for growth, and a renewed work environment that supports and sustains those values. Several of these values are quite important for today's call. So, for example, we think like owners, we deliver results, or we walk the talk, we are example, values which influence our decisions and actions on both near-term fixes and long-term value creation. We have also reorganized Lala under a matrix structure comprised of 3 business units: traditional dairy, value-added dairy, and food service. Double hatting, which is designed to develop a corporate and operational mindset in every executive employee, is making us more agile and bringing decision makers closer to our markets. All of this is contained within our culture. And to enhance this change, We have already moved our corporate headquarters to a less extensive but more modern, exciting, and collaborative space that facilitates transparent and effective communication. This is cultivating relationships among our colleagues, and this is why everybody, including us, the executive committee, sits in one of these open spaces. Please move to slide 6. With the objective of clarifying the independence and empowerment of management, I was appointed CEO and Executive President of Grupo Lala. This gave space for my direct reports to be appointed as Vice President and organized in a matrix manner by business units, as I explained before, rather than per function as we were operating. Mexico is our main growth and profit leader. Therefore, with the double hatting principle that I explained earlier, I lead both Grupo Lala globally as well as our Mexican operation, as you can see on the slide. And our new structure has 7 executives focused on generating top-line expansion. Our new matrix has already been fully populated with an interesting mix of executives with long tenure in Grupo Lala. Also new colleagues that will bring oxygen as well as vast experience and an international mindset comprised of Mexicans, Brazilians, Americans, or even Colombians like me. Each of the 3 new business units will have separate P&Ls for which the unit vice presidents have full accountability, and this will allow Grupo Lala to focus not only on traditional dairy, but give relevance to added value dairy as well as the food service market. This new structure also drives intellectual synergies, particularly in another important element of our growth strategy, innovation. Furthermore, we have appointed an executive in charge of new business development and assuring new launches are introduced timely and set up for success before being fully embedded in the commercial machine of Grupo Lala. On the next slide, to attract and retain talent, create a performance-driven culture, as well as align ourselves with shareholders, we are implementing merit-based compensation with incentives based on clear targets. A new short and long-term compensation was approved and implemented as of January 2019 based on an external benchmarking study. This new plan increases on average the variable portion of the compensation from 21% to 54% of the total package. The compensation plan has been extended to over 200 employees, up from the prior 20. Short-term incentives are a mix of cash and restricted stock units with a 1 to 3 year vesting period, while RSUs, restricted share units or stock units, with a 4 year vesting period make up the long-term incentives of the plan. Alignment is primarily achieved by measuring individual as long as company performance on volume growth, sales growth, EBITDA margin expansion, and working capital, a key priority for our deleveraging strategy. If we can continue on slide 9, please. Something that I emphasized on my first call with you was driving a virtuous cycle, whereby our company must drive operational efficiencies and cost optimization to free up resources that can be invested in market-facing activities as well as expanding margins. In Mexico, we have launched a range of initiatives in 2019, all of which you see in this slide have been actioned and are already work in progress. We plan to modernize Lala's imagery with the aim of disrupting the category, capturing additional market share, and driving innovation sales. In support of this effort, we will update our product packaging and designs as well, because we need our brands to resonate with Mexico's new generation of shoppers and additional consumption occasions. We are strengthening Lala's revenue management team, who are tasked with adopting global best practices to explore yield management as well as precision pricing initiatives. Driving operating efficiencies will also be important, particularly in terms of margin expansion. From a distribution perspective, we are working to adopt dynamic routing optimization to strengthen this distinctive competitive advantage in Mexico. Other initiatives include what our innovation vice president will lead by importing and implementing innovation best practices and processes from Vigor, our Brazilian operation, where he was director of research and development. We also launched yesterday, as a fact, our culinary central to fully bet on the food service opportunity. and we will be reinforcing our communication with our consumers by launching 8 milestone campaigns throughout the year, which are 4 per semester, in order to maximize the success rate of the innovation coming to Lala Mexico and place our money behind the big bets. Also driving the virtuous cycle in Mexico is cost optimization. We have started the implementation of zero-based budgeting to establish more disciplined and detailed cost analysis for each business line. This is also helping to create a culture where all of us act more like owners, avoiding unnecessary expenses, and freeing up funds to invest in the growth projects that I've highlighted. Underpinning zero-based budgeting are P&Ls designed to control fixed and variable costs and tracking of unitary costings. Additionally, we have appointed a project management office to help ensure that budget targets are met. We are also optimizing Lala's cost structure throughout procurement, which is being centralized to leverage our scale across regions. This new organization is focusing on pricing, value engineering, and improving payment terms. By way of example, we substantially improved our working capital after undertaking a benchmarking study in 3 regions and in Mexico. It has already resulted in substantial improvement of our capital employed. Alberto will give more flavor to this in the financial side. On slide 10, please. Premiumization is another growth lever for us in Mexico. As an example, we have signed a licensing agreement with U.S.-based Blue Diamond growers to produce, market, and distribute almond-based beverages. Blue Diamond is the world's leading supplier of almonds and is the top global brand for almond milk. Under the terms of our agreement, they will supply almond-based raw materials, provide technical assistance, and quality-oriented expertise, as well as access to their product innovation pipeline. In return, Lala offers local and regional market knowledge, as well as our company's production and distribution capabilities. Consistent with our premiumization strategy, Blue Diamond will be positioned as the premium brand in the market, while our Lala Vita brand will remain as a strong mainstream and top-of-mainstream brand. It is important to note Mexico's almond milk market grew 23% in volume terms and 29% in value terms during 2018. Please move to slide 11. Vigor and the Brazilian market, where we have a strong geographic footprint, remains the other key growth lever, both near-term and long-term. Vigor is an engaging and powerful brand, the fastest-growing dairy brand in Brazil, supported by our most comprehensive advertising campaign ever, launched during the second semester of last year. The focus of our innovation initiatives in Brazil will be in the cheese, yogurt, and desserts categories with the aim of driving sales as well as expanding margins. As a fact, something interesting that we've been seeing the last couple of months is an increase in consumption of desserts, which is an early indicator of economic recovery as people start to spend more on indulgence. Our expansion plan includes a 70 million real investment to quadruple the storage capacity of Parmesan cheese at our plant in Rio de Janeiro. Brazil's economy is beginning to recover, promising a revitalized consumer market, and Vigor is well positioned to exploit current and emerging growth opportunities within. On slide 12, I'd like to share that we take very seriously the digital transformation of the business and the long-term impact it has in the market. That is why the Transformation Office reports product lines to the CEO and why we are partnering with global digital leaders to leverage various technologies, making Lala a more agile, responsive, and innovative provider of dairy products across the markets in which we compete. Here you can see some examples of strategic alliances we have already signed with global and regional leaders to enhance our back office, front office, omnichannel presence, and corporate culture. These players will work together with Lala to test and implement many of their services in the Latin American markets, and in exchange, it is our opportunity to convert these into competitive advantages and address better the fast-paced changing environment in which we operate. On slide 14, To align our capital allocation strategy, we have started a study to define where to play and how to win. I have touched upon improvements we made with respect to working capital, and I would like to give you concrete examples of what we've achieved. We have canceled a long-standing practice of making advanced payments to milk producers, a change that generated 1 billion pesos in working capital per annum. We also negotiated payment terms with Lala's largest suppliers, extending payment conditions to net 90 days from 50 days average we had before. As we become more targeted with our investments, CapEx as a percentage of sales decreased from 3.2% in 2018 from nearly 6% in the previous years. For 2019, we're targeting a level between 3.5% to 4%. Regarding M&A, our priority is to deleverage the company. New deals will be analyzed based on portfolio complementarity, and the decision-making process will be more disciplined based on return on invested capital. On slide 15, we highlight the fact that we have reached break-even in both USA and Central America as part of our commitment to reverse the drags. More details will be given as I go through each region's Q4 highlights. Continuing on slide 17, as I noted earlier, the transformation of Lala's culture includes being more transparent and accountable. Our aim is to help you better understand Lala's underlying performance and its earnings potential. We have started to disclose sales volumes by region each quarter. We are also disclosing market share by region, and we'll be providing our historical information in our website under this new breakdown, including separate reporting for Mexico and Central America. Going forward, Lala's financial statements and annual reports will be translated into English. Lastly, we will be consistent in our disclosure of this information, including growth in local currency and disclosing market share every 6 months. Regarding our market share information, we are working with every region to have consistent and relevant information of our key categories. Now moving to slide 19, please, into the quarter highlights. For Mexico, our business fundamentals are solid, where sales in the fourth quarter grew 4.5% on price increases and volume growth. This led to a sequential 90 basis points increase in our EBITDA margin. Our strategy to raise prices will remain in effect in the first quarter of 2019 to maintain Lala's margin recovery. We will also continue executing on our premiumization strategy to drive margin expansion further. For example, most recently, Lala 100 or Lala 100, our non-lactose premium milk, continues to grow at levels of 50%. We launched Lala Suprema, a premium DHT milk, Lala Cream Cheese, and our premium portfolio of cold cuts under the brand Plain. The zero-based budgeting that I discussed earlier is currently being implemented in Mexico and have also negotiated with several suppliers to improve working capital, as Beto will explain later on. As you can see, our market share across products categories grew in milk and cheeses following the first stage of price increases. The gaining milk market share comes mainly from fresh milk variances in traditional trade and UHT milk in modern trade. The 100 basis point increases in the cheese category was mainly due to higher sales of our Panela and our mature cheeses. The contraction in market share of cream was related to supply restrictions, which we have already addressed via CapEx and manufacturing practices. On our next slide, 20, for Brazil. We generated another quarter of robust sales growth in Brazil. The 10% increase in revenues was a combination of product mix, volume growth, and the price increase we have been implementing. Product launches also contributed to sales growth, and because there is a margin accretive innovation mindset in Vigor, revenue mix is driving part of the margin expansion. We have continued taking strategic price increases in the first half of 2019 to make front to input cost inflation, especially milk costs. On the next slide, still on Brazil, our sales growth and ability to raise prices are supported by a historical branding campaign, an investment of R$50 million that has resulted in brand awareness at higher levels than both international and local competitors, as shown in these graphs. In December, Vigor's Greek yogurt, Requeijão, and cream cheese products were ranked first in their respective categories in Brazil, with the former gaining another 380 basis points in market share. On slide 22, for the United States region, as I noted earlier, we reached break-even point due to structural changes. The first driver is by increasing sales 3.6% on volume growth of just over 2%. Second, the re-engineering of our Promised Land portfolio to maximize its margins. Third, co-manufacturing on the East Coast and closing a plant in Texas. To sustain profitability, we have already taken capacity utilization of our Colorado plant to 65%. As of today, fit for purpose has been completed in the U.S. region, and as I said, we anticipate savings of approximately $6 million in 2019 due to this. During the quarter, we launched an innovative probiotic smoothie, a picture of which you see here. Lala remains the market leader in the adult drinkable yogurt category, and we increased our market share basis points during the quarter. On slide 23 for Central America, we also achieved break-even in CAM, where we undertook an extensive restructuring in Nicaragua to restore profitability. Unfortunately, the political strife in Nicaragua resulted in a further contraction of regional sales, which decreased 13% in the fourth quarter. Nonetheless, ice cream, our most profitable category, grew 8% in Guatemala and 93% in Costa Rica, as we also launched our new manufacturing facility in San Jose. We have completed the restructuring in the Central America region. This included closing the regional office in Panama and implementing double hatching, with Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and Guatemala now being managed from the latter country. In total, the right sizing reduced headquarters by 40% and is allowing senior management to be closer to the operations and more agile decision-making in the market. On the next slide for Central America, during the quarter, we opened plants in Guatemala and Costa Rica, increasing capacity to produce milk, cheese, yogurts, and ice cream in the region. Here is a look at the new plants in those countries, where we invested $8.9 million and $13.4 million in Costa Rica, and we're in line with the CapEx guidelines that have been established and positioned now in a new space for future growth in Central America under the new structure, strategy, and energy that's in place in the region. Thank you very much, and I will now leave it to Alberto, who will discuss Lala's fourth quarter results in more detail.
Thank you, Mauricio. Good morning, everyone. Please move to slide 26. As shown in this slide, following the acquisition of Vigor, Lala has diversified its portfolio, both in terms of product segment and geography. This means that our company is less reliant on milk revenues, which now accounts for 50% of our sales, compared to almost 60% in 2017. Furthermore, 17% of total sales now come from Brazil, a market which, given its size and potential, should continue to grow in importance within our overall company footprint. Let's move to slide 27. Before reviewing our financial results, I want to recall that Brazil figures are still not comparable, so we started consolidating Vigor during November of 2017. Therefore, we have one additional month of sales in the fourth quarter results of 2018. Volume increased across all three of our product segments, rising 6.2% over the fourth quarter of 2017, and just over 10% on a 12-month basis. Milk represents 74% of our portfolio, whose growth is driven by Nutri Leche and Lala brands in Mexico, plus the additional one-month UHT milk sales coming from Brazil. Other dairy volume grew close to 17% coming from one additional month of Brazil, sales of the growth portfolio, yogurt, cheese, spreadables, and desserts, plus organic growth of cheeses in Mexico, which Mauricio has been talking about. Beverage and others increased 4% in volume, driven by cold crops and milk alternatives in Mexico, which have grown 50% year-over-year, and the inorganic contribution of beverage from Brazil. Let's move to slide 28. Mexico contributed to 83% of our volume and grew 2.5% in the quarter, driven by milk, cheese, and cold crops. Quarterly sales grew in the U.S. driven by 2.3% volume increase, while Central America sales declined by 9%, mainly as a result of the political crisis in Nicaragua. In comparable figures, the business grew 2%, which shows a better growth trend versus the yearly comparable number of 0.4%. Brazil represented 11% of our total volume for the year and was the main growth driver in the quarter with additional month of sales. Considering the 3 months of 2017, Brazil sales volume grew 3.3%. Please move to slide 29. On a comparable figures, LALA quarterly sales increased 4.1% to reach 16 billion pesos. On a reported basis, total sales grew nearly 10% in the quarter and 20.6% full year to reach 75.4 billion pesos due to the organic growth and the consolidation of Brazil. This growth is a combination of volume increase, pricing in Mexico and Brazil, and an improved overall mix. Let's move to the next slide. As you can see in the graph, quarterly sales grew consistently for Mexico, Brazil, and the U.S., mainly reflecting volume growth, pricing actions, and positive mix, together with favorable seasonality. Central America sales have now stabilized for two consecutive quarters, following demand and contraction over the last 2 quarters. Let's move to slide 31, please. We see the evolution of EBITDA and margin in Mexico throughout the year. Margin in Q4 shows a solid recovery versus last quarter, following the growth in volume and pricing. We expect margins to continue recovering throughout 2019 as we keep professionalizing our revenue management and fuel-based budget initiatives. Let's move to slide 32. In Brazil, we had a tough Q2 and Q3 affected by a trucker strike and an increase in the cost of meat of around 25%. Despite the latter, we were able to maintain and slightly increase margins throughout the year. Excluding the non-operational effect of the purchase price allocation, which we also call PPA, this adjustment in Q4 18, which I will further explain on slide 37, Brazil also showed an improvement of its operational margin, reaching 8.5% of EBITDA on sales during Q4 18. Please go to slide 33. Reaching break-even in the U.S. is one of the highlights of this quarter. As mentioned last year, various actions have been taken to structurally turn our business in the U.S. from red to black numbers. Those choices include the closing of a plant in Florida, Texas during the first semester of 2018, the launch of a completely renovated farmer's land portfolio with better margins, the signing of 3 co-manufacturing agreements to better use our capacity in Colorado, driving its utilization from 40 to 65% at the end. At the same time, we have started promised land production with a co-packer in the East Coast, shaving down distribution expenses. And finally, we size the organization for profitable growth. All these actions are meant to maintain and gradually increase our margins in the U.S. On the next slide, we see Central America's EBITDA recovering to break-even. Following a difficult Q2 and Q3 impacted by the crisis in Nicaragua, we decided to right-size our local operations and close our regional headquarters in Panama, liberating some oxygen to be able to break-even. strong plans are in place to drive sales in Guatemala and Costa Rica following the recent opening of the two manufacturing plants in both countries. Let's move to slide 35. Looking at the bottom of the chart, after declining throughout 2018, LALA's EBITDA margin recovered during Q4 18. This increase was a combination of volume growth, better mix, and price increases in Brazil and Mexico, together with having the U.S. and CAM delivering positive figures. On a year-on-year comparison, margins in Mexico decreased 210 basis points, mainly due to the energy and packaging inflation we explained over Q3, not yet compensated with pricing, while the U.S. and CAM positive EBITDA narrowed the margin contraction to negative 90 basis points in comparable figures total company. Brazil had one-offs in Q4 17 and 18. Excluding this one-time impact, the margin for Brazil grew 150 basis points. Adjusted company numbers without Brazil one-off stand at 11.3 EBITDA on sales, an 80 basis point contraction versus Q4 last year. Please move to slide 36. In this graph, we normalize Brazilian Q4 EBITDA for both years to better understand operational results. In Q4 17, we reported a margin of 16%, which included the benefit of Itambe sale and the one-off expenses related to the acquisition of Igor. Excluding these effects, the normalized margin of Q4 17 was 7%. In the fourth quarter of 18, we had a 100 basis point margin expansion due to volume growth, synergies, less cost, and an improved product mix, while the PPA adjustment decreased the margin by 210 basis points. The PPA impact was related to cheap inventories in aging process that were manufacturing at a given cost of raw milk, which then had to be adjusted to the market value of milk price at the time of acquisition. This effect was reflected in the cost of goods during the fourth quarter. The latter was a unique event, which is not related to the operational performance of Q4 and will not affect future results. Thus, normalized EBITDA margin of the fourth quarter of 2018 for Brazil was 8.5%. Please turn to slide 37. In full year figures, comparable EBITDA margin contracted 160 basis points to land at 11.1%. From a regional perspective, 95% of the group's EBITDA came from our Mexican operation. Let's move to slide 38. In the quarter, financial expenses increased 18.5%, for the debt was acquired on October 23rd of 2017. Income taxes decreased sharply, mainly from a high comparison in 2017, following the tax paid for the sale of Itambe in Brazil, as well as a one-time benefit of 157 million pesos last quarter, profiting from double taxation related to the repatriation of brands from Switzerland to Mexico during 2014. Given the above, net income for the quarter increased 83%, reaching 865 million pesos. In yearly figures, the tax benefit in Q4 compensated the penalty of Q3 related to the 2011 audit, reaching an effective tax rate for the year of 32.6%. Please go to slide 39 to talk about the debt. At the end of the year, total debt stood at 26.5 billion pesos, a net debt to EBITDA ratio of 3.1 times. 90% of LALA debt is denominated in Mexican pesos. 53% of it has fixed interest rate, and 90% of our debt is long-term. Overall cost of debt stands 60 basis points above TIIE for Mexico and 70 basis points ahead of CDI in Brazil. Please move to slide 40. As Mauricio shared, we have been taking working capital very seriously and emphasizing a lot of our actions to optimize to drive ROIC further. As you can see in the chart, LALA's working capital efficiency has progressed over the last 12 months, with a working capital over sales ratio falling across the quarters. Some of the actions taken to drive down these results include the cancellation of an historical prepayment to our new producers at the end of the year, together with renegotiation of trade terms with some of our key packaging, media, and insurance suppliers. On the next slide, also highlighting our focus on capital allocation is CapEx optimization. As Mauricio pointed out earlier, we are being very disciplined in our investments, with total CapEx decreasing 34% to 2.4 billion pesos during 2018, or 3.2% of sales. As we have shared, for 2019, we are planning to keep our CapEx over sales ratio between 3.5% and 4%. Please go to slide 42. During the year, we accelerated LALA's participation in the share buyback program, accumulating a total of 37.2 million LALA shares, or slightly below 1 billion pesos. We will continue to actively acquire shares as we strongly believe in the upside of our stock price. I will now turn over the call back to Mauricio for some closing remarks, and then we will open the call for questions and answers. Mauricio, please go ahead.
So thank you, Beto. And on slide 43, some of the closing remarks we'd like to make is, to conclude, we strongly believe and remain committed to our key focus areas. So we will nurture talent under our new company values, organizational structure, and work environment, as well as incentivize and reward employees in ways that are aligned with LALA's performance goals and shareholders. We have already executed our new structure in all of the regions and are focusing our efforts to grow profitably our Mexican and Brazilian operations. We will drive a virtuous cycle by continually optimizing our cost structure to increase margins and invest to enhance our commercial capabilities. And finally, the organization is aware that we must transform all these efforts into strong and continuous financial results. Thank you. So for your time, I appreciate, and I would like to turn the call over to the operator who will open the line for Q&A session.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star key. Our first question comes from the line of Alan Alanis with UBS. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mauricio and Beto. Really appreciate the added disclosure and the clarity. This is very, very useful. I have a couple of questions, though. The first one, what happened with pricing in Mexico sequentially from the third to the fourth quarter? That would be my first question. At the end of the day, we will know in a few quarters, but if you could just tell us what happened there sequentially in Mexico. The second question I have to do is regarding working capital. Is this the new normal? Because it seems that the improvement that you have in working capital had to do with an increase in payables, which I assume that has something to do with what you mentioned on page 14 regarding the cancellation of an advance payment for the milk producers. That's the new normal that we should be expecting. And how is that impacting your gross margins? Because I assume that these milk producers are going to be demanding an adjustment on their price, and that might be. And how much does that explain your contraction in your gross margin or your operating income in Mexico that declined 19%? Those would be the two questions. Thank you.
Hola, Alan. Thanks for the questions. First of all, in terms of pricing in Mexico, we did a roundabout 6% price increase in our traditional channel in November. This is something that we were able to execute, let's say, flawlessly,
And there's something similar coming during the month of February already for the modern trade. So still in Q1, we will not have the full impact of the price increase, although executed. We will not see it, let's say, completed in our numbers. This is something to be seen, I would say, completely and in basically in Q2. So that's the first question on that. And I would say that pricing actions have been executed as planned. Additionally, as Mauricio has been sharing with you, we are working more on a midterm strategy on improving our capabilities, internal capabilities in terms of revenue management. So there's something else to come, later during the year. To your second question on working capital improvement, yes, this is here to stay, and it is a new norm. To be fully transparent, before the acquisition of Vibor, Lara was a company with an unleveraged balance sheet, and the focus was not on working capital improvement. What we have been doing over the last 12 months, it's not only to renegotiate terms with our suppliers, but as you can see in the balance sheet as well, we improved our position in DIO, so inventory, and we also improved our position in DSOs. So really, the focus is across the board on the levers that we can play in terms of capital optimization and working capital. Now, on the very specific, I would say, $50 million stop of historical prepayment to the milk producer. Yes, this is something that helped us in Q4. This was a prepayment on, let's say, over holiday sales, basically based on the first week or two on the following year. So this is more kind of a one-off, but it's structural and it's changing the way we are also managing the relationship with them. And to your, I would say, second part of the second question, which is, are we going to have to pay this in lower gross margin? The answer is no. This is something that we had discussed and negotiated with them at the closing of 2017. So we pretty much gave them, let's say, a one-year advance on that notice, and nothing happened on that matter in terms of adjustment to our milk price in 2018, and this will not affect also the way we are managing our negotiation on pricing terms. So that's kind of how we're looking at it.
Well, that's very clear and very useful. Thank you so much. Just really quickly, and lastly, your criteria between doing share buybacks and debt repayments?
Yes. So our, as you can see, we have been, let's say, very active in terms of our share buyback program. Our main objective is to be leveraged and continue with that sequentially until we get to, let's say, 2.5 times or so. If we have the opportunity, if we have enough cash, if we have a further improvement in working capital, if the evidence is coming ahead of what we're expecting, yes, we will be acting. We will be actively seeking to buy our stock.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Felipe Ucros with Scotiabank. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, good morning, Mauricio, Beto, and team. Congrats on the quarter, and thanks for the space for questions. And also congrats on the execution and the reporting, which has improved so much. Let me start with a quick one. You mentioned the one-off on Brazil, and I think it was explained very carefully, and it's pretty clear. But then looking at the other regions and all the work you have been doing to restructure the company, I imagine there were more one-offs. Like, for instance, you closed Panama, so I imagine there are one-offs related to that, and maybe there's other stuff in other regions. So I was wondering if there's any way you can give us a full estimate of the one-offs for the quarter so that we can kind of get a true picture of what recurring EBITDA might have been. And then moving a bit more into the strategic questions, you delivered on most of the goals that you guys have set for the short term. But you had also talked about a 2025 plan. So I was wondering when we'll get a first peek at that and whether we might get an idea from you of what the 2019 outlook for the full year looks like. So thanks for that.
Hola, Felipe. Thanks for the questions as well. Let me address the first one, and I will let Mauricio answer the one related to the 2025 dream. So in terms of one-off, we don't have anything left that we know in terms of impact for neither Brazil, Central America, U.S., or Mexico. First of all, the BPA adjustment was fully, I would say, absorbed in Q4. This was 14 million reais that our auditors basically asked us to put there. We debated strongly because it has to do with how we recorded the cost of goods. But at the end of the day, we thought it was a reasonable adjustment, and it is there and it's already absorbed. In terms of the Panama offices, closing and everything that had to do with the reshuffling of the new management in Central America, you might recall that we created a reserve in Q3 for that matter, and also for the resizing of the U.S. So, again, both of those impacts are recorded in our books in 2018. So to be very clear, there's nothing else that we know that should come as a surprise or as a one-off in the following quarters.
Great, very clear.
And in the 2025, Felipe, thank you for your question. And the dream we've been talking about, this is something that we actually guide and push ourselves as a business organization, our colleagues and team looking forward with one true north. When and how to share this with the group, this is something that we're working as we speak, as we would like to make a Lala Day where we can share a lot of what we've been doing, a lot of what we plan to do and where we want to get to, but most importantly also as well, so that you guys get to know management, some of our senior executives and people that are making this dream come true. As you have seen in the different slides and short-term results, we've been sharing a lot of what the dream has been made of, and building on those is how we get to the 2025 dream. But we will be more specific as soon as we're able to land a date and therefore have this Lala Day where we can be more open in regarding our executives, our team, visit our plans, and see some of our portfolio and what we're doing. I don't know if that's is that enough for you now, or is it like more information?
Yeah, no, that's great that you guys are thinking about doing a Lala Day. Let me ask you, for 2019, can you give us any guidance of what you're expecting in the different regions then?
So we're still not providing guidance, Felipe. One of the things, there are some things that we have said to you guys, and I would say probably point them out very clearly. We have been guiding the market on our ambition to keep working and reducing working capital, dependency. The second one are it's also CapEx, where we are thinking on landing the year between 3.5% and 4% of sales. The other thing that we have guiding the market is we have break-even in the U.S. now. And we have also shared that the restructuring process and a couple of other things that we have been doing are going to be providing us with at least $6 million worth of EBITDA. So, that's already another guidance. And we have also shared that on top of the breaking even in Central America, we are going to be having close to $2 million worth of EBITDA. And the other thing we have been also sharing is that, the price increase for Mexico and Brazil is here to stay and has been executed already in February. So that can give you a flavor on how the key markets are going to be profiling.
Great. Thanks a lot. Very clear, Bethan. Congrats again for the improvement in disclosure.
All right. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Maurice Miranda with Santander Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Mauricio Alberto. Thanks for the question and congratulations on the results. I wanted to give some follow-up on Mexico, and if you could give us some color, especially on the consumer environment, and especially how are you seeing the performance of the premium brands, and if you could give us also some color. You mentioned this 6% price increase in November in the traditional channel. Has it already been absorbed? Did you see any lower than expected volumes due to the price increase? Thank you.
Yeah, Luis. Good morning, and thank you for your question. Regarding Mexico, we are still seeing the market quite dynamic in this sense that end of last year, there was less positive sentiment out there, talking about general consumption. And with the new government, there has been now a more positive reaction and therefore interest in consumers looking forward. And while we're not seeing it specifically in consumption patterns yet or an increase in disposable income, we are seeing some early indicators that give us some positive signals, and that's what we're preparing for. In this specific case, we're talking about the milk increase, not just fresh milk, but UHT milk, and how we're seeing some of our more profitable packs growing, specifically Nala 100, Vita, which is the vegetable milk alternative, Nala Suprema, we're seeing the same as in Brazil, an important increase in desserts. And that is an interesting early indicator because normally consumers will buy first nutrition and then indulgence. So when there is an increase in products like desserts, you see expenditure in indulgence being an interesting indicator. So it's something that we've been pushing hard and a lot of our innovation going to come in this front, both in Brazil, but also, most importantly to your question, in Mexico. The price increase, which we took end of last year, so in November and out of early December, has been implemented fully in traditional trade, which was around 6%, as Beto was saying. This has been fully absorbed and implemented in the market. And we are continuing with our price increase in modern trade and in the other channels as we speak. And you'll see it reflected in Q1, fully in Q2, but definitely you'll see it in Q1 already, the latter part of Q1 already embedded and absorbed. This will take us to a better space or position than last year, because this is starting the year with a front foot in the sense that this price increase fully embedded will now allow us to focus more on defending market share, penetrating in the right location, and investing in marketing and innovation, which is part of this virtuous cycle creation.
Thank you, Mauricio. That was very clear. Also, a follow-up on the share buyback program. The objective is mainly to give liquidity, or do you plan to cancel the shares? Thanks.
No, we are planning to keep them in our treasury. We are not planning to cancel them, at least yet.
Thank you, Alberto.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Miguel Totolero with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, Mauricio, Alberto. One of my questions has been answered, but just a quick one on gross margin. Could you give a bit more color on the raw material pressure that you witnessed during the quarter? I understand that we have seen some pressure on the packaging and electricity prices, but could you give a bit more sensibility on the raw milk side in Mexico? Thank you.
Hola, Miguel. Listen, in terms of packaging pressure, yes, we had important inflation. Not only Q4. This is something that we have already talked about in Q3. And it mainly comes from the fact that energy prices in Mexico have been spiking. So we have some pressure on corrugated carton, some of the HDPE, and so on.
In terms of the raw material price inflation, I think we should share that in Q3, but the cost increase was pretty much in line with the Mexican inflation. And we have nothing to report additionally in Q4.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ulises Argote with JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for the call. Just two quick things from my side. First, over the last couple of quarters, we've seen some issues there impacting the tax rate, and it has been quite volatile. Just want to get your thoughts on what levels you see reasonable for 2019. And then the second one, can you just please repeat the expected level of net debt to EBITDA? I did not hear it clearly. Was that 2.5 times by the end of 2019? Thank you.
Yes. Hola, Ulises. Ulises, could you please repeat the entire question and speak a little bit slowly? For whatever reason, we were not able to listen you well.
Yes. Sorry. Is this better now?
Yes.
Nope. Sorry. Yeah. The first one. Just get your thoughts on what you see as a reasonable tax rate for 2019. And then the second one, what was the level of expected net debt to EBITDA? Was that 2.5 times by year end 2019? Thank you.
Ulises, I'm sorry, but still your first question, I was not able to understand it. Are you asking about the effective tax rate of Q4?
Sorry, guys. Yeah. No. About the what do you expect for tax rate in 2019? Sorry, I don't know what's going on with my line.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. So in terms of tax rate for the year, we are still targeting a bracket in between 35% to 37%, which is pretty much a normalized tax rate without the one-off effect that we had in 2018. So that's for the first question. And then for the second question, in terms of deleverage, it's everything that we're doing is basically to be able to deleverage at least to a 2.5 debt on EBITDA, net debt on EBITDA. When are we going to be doing that? This could be happening in the following, let's say, 3 to 4 quarters. It will pretty much depend, obviously, on the results we are giving in Q2 and Q3. We have an internal target. I don't want to share it with you, but you need to be mindful on the fact that pretty much everything that we're doing from our operational efficiency standpoint is to be able to have enough cash and resources to prepay debt. So that's currently what we're thinking of.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to join the question queue, please press star 1 at this time. We'll pause a moment to allow for any other questions. Thank you. Mr. Gonzalez, there are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the floor back to you for any final comments.
Thank you very much. And thank you all for joining us for the quarter call. We look forward to talking to you in 3 months' time. If not before, have a good day.
Thank you. This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.